Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The 2020 New Orleans Saints season is almost here. For this season, join the best Saints fan community in the world, Saints Happy Hour, connecting you with the most passionate Saints fans around for only $10 a month. Come have fun and laugh with us. Get the Saints Happy Hour booze bundle as a welcome gift, featuring 4 limited edition collector swag items not available in any stores. You'll also get members-only access to the best Saints podcast every day, completely ad-free, and exclusive access to the Saints Happy Hour private Discord chat room, where you can talk Saints football with our community members 24/7 and get access to special giveaways and prizes. Make 2020 Saints football more fun by joining Saints Happy Hour. Go to saintshappyhour.com. That's saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy Cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome into another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. It's a Wednesday. That means it's guest time. Andrew got a fantastic guest, but I'm going to tell both of y'all, if y'all start talking tennis, I am just going to play Jim Mora sound bites over you repeatedly.
That is f***ing stupid. Wake up.
Well, we got Larry Holder from The Athletic. Larry, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I guess I won't mention that I looked up Andrew's tennis rating and results before I came on this podcast over the last few years on the USTA website. I won't mention I did that.
Oh, God.
How is that looking? I'm curious.
Pretty good for Andrew, who, he's claimed that I've ducked him for years. Maybe I have after seeing that. So I might need to keep ducking away.
Yeah, he just builds
it. Now's as good of a time to play me as any, Larry. Well, what's going on?
Anybody that listens to this podcast knows Andrew's rankings through tennis is all built on a house of sand, and that house is just him humiliating 50-year-old women repeatedly. That's where his rankings are built.
It's true.
I'm just glad I've hit 40, and so I can play in the 40s now. That is like my saving grace. Once this thing we ever get started here, COVID is, after we sift through COVID, because it's not going anywhere right this second.
That's my question, Larry. How are you surviving? How are you and your Bama Bangs and everything? How are they surviving the Rona as it just drags on with no end in sight?
Well, I'm literally standing outside, diving away from my kids who have been home for since March. And so, yeah, look, it's certainly been an interesting time, even professionally, just with becoming, you're a sports site. People subscribe to The Athletic. And when sports aren't around, it's become an interesting challenge for not just me, but for certainly people within our company. And so, I feel like I've been as creative as I can. I've still got some more creativity coming, but I do feel like at least as we're getting into July, that we will have Saints to talk about. Like after I'm done the article that I kind of put out on Twitter that I was working on, that I'm sure we might touch on about local sports radio, I've got like 5 or 6 stories in a row where I've like kind of held on to them to like lead up to what we assume will be training camp. And so, I'm looking forward to that and actually watching a little bit of training camp, which will be still on a limited basis, and preparing as if we will be having a season.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that, Larry. So I want to just touch on COVID real quick as it relates to the football season. And we've already had two preseason games get canceled. It looks as though the NFLPA is pushing for two other preseason games to get canned so that we, I guess, go straight to week one of the regular season. But I'm curious, and this, I guess you can either speak of what you're hearing behind the scenes or just your gut feeling, but I'm just curious, how do you see this season playing out? Do you think we'll have 16 games? What's your gut on if and any fans will have and all that?
I think my gut changes by the day, which I feel like it's hard to really get a good sense because things could change. I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere along the line, like this is just me. I don't know if this is going to happen, but it wouldn't surprise me if there would be some sort of game stoppage because like a team comes down, 20 players come down with COVID like at once, you know, because even the cold or the flu spreads in a locker room. Sure, you can handle it, but you're not having to be quarantined. So I'm almost preparing myself as if something like that were to happen. Well, so, you know, certainly, but who knows? Like, I feel like I want to be optimistic and say, all right, they're going to go 16 games and they're just going to push through. But, you know, there are going to be some challenges that we don't know. Like, so what if say, come game day, this whole Saints quarterback room test positive and you got no quarterback? Like, there's no contingency plan for that. And so, you know, I'm expecting the mega unexpected as we go going into the season.
Larry, my theory, and I've said this repeatedly on the show and Twitter and everywhere, is my theory is the only thing the NFL has going for it that other sports don't is they haven't started yet. So the NFL has the we can delay card, and they can delay, shorten it, and give us something, right? And try to just wait for the worst of it to pass. But you look around, you know, not to be political, the country's kind of a mess right now. I think that I keep going back to 1982, Larry. The NFL, they had an 8-week strike and did a 9-game season and playoffs and took 16 of the 28 teams in the playoffs. So I just believe the NFL is going to give us something. It might be really weird and compact and strange, but they're going to give us football between now and the end of February. They're going to give us something. That's my belief. I'm not sure what it looks like.
I believe you. No, I'm with you. I think that we'll get something for sure. And but what that something is, they can't tell you. So, I mean, all we could do is talk and speculate and kind of prepare what our gut says, because the virus makes the plans, not the league, not anything else. The virus makes the plans until humanity can come up with some sort of vaccine. And so you've got to be able to pivot. But like you said, we've seen the NFL be flexible in the past. Let's see, in 87, when they had a strike, they lost the game, but still had replacement players. But you know, we're seeing different formats in the NBA. We're seeing different formats in Major League Baseball. And those could change, even though we're...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
coming up. So at least this NFL will have some sort of test case. They're not going to be the guinea pig per se here. But look, I'm expecting some sort of disruption just because, you know, I'm preparing for the worst. You can't, like, that's all I'm doing. But I'm with you in that there will be football, but look, they might have to change at some point. Like, we just don't know. And I think there's less predictability in college football because, you know, they don't necessarily have the wiggle room to play with as much as, say, maybe the NFL. And so, like, it's definitely something that we can think we know, but who knows? We might not know a week before, say, week six, and then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, there's this outbreak, and then you've got to switch course, or a team comes down with something and like a game is canceled for a certain team. Who knows?
We'll get back to the show in just a second. There is no shortage of action going on with our partners over at betonline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back with the NBA announcing its return in late July. But right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer all have resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds and lines for their upcoming games and matches. You need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day for our devout gamblers to check out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit BetOnline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts.
So if all that's true, Larry, would you – I'm actually going to make the claim. So, you know, the narrative out there has been that there is a big-time advantage to a team like the Saints that have continuity, same coach, same system for a long time, same quarterback, and so a veteran roster that's established. And so when you look at all those things in tandem, they're in a much better place than, say, a team like the Bucks that have a new quarterback, or, you know, say a team that has a new head coach or a new system altogether. No OTAs, no rookie mini camps to kind of implement some of the stuff, less preseason games, maybe none. So the narrative has been that it's an advantage for the established teams. But is there a counter argument to that? And I'm curious about your thoughts on this, that if things are so highly variable, when you have your established teams that are expected to do well, but so many curveballs can be thrown, is it not an advantage to teams like the Cleveland Browns or just any team, that the Cincinnati Bengals, where they may be a heavy underdog, but boom, your quarterback room gets hit with COVID and you've got to bring a guy off from the practice squad because he's the only guy that hasn't been exposed and he's starting. And all of a sudden, the playing field is completely leveled when the Cincinnati Bengals come into town.
I can see that argument being a valid one. Also, you don't know what's coming. Say the Panthers have no preseason games, and you have Matt Rhule and Teddy Bridgewater and Joe Brady, and it's completely new. But you're a team trying to prepare for the Carolina Panthers, and you have no idea what to expect. Maybe you understand the Saints offense, but you don't know what to expect. But like, I still lean more towards, boy, if you're a veteran team and you have an established roster, you're not curious about 20 roster spots. Like, all you're going to be able to go on, say, Andrew, if you're losing the other two preseason games, all you're gauging on is practice. You don't have a really firm evaluation of your roster, and you're just doing it on the practice field, this, that, and the other. And so, you know, I still lean more toward the argument that the established teams certainly have an advantage, but there's definitely teams where, you know, and we see this every year, even with unestablished rosters, maybe a team jumps up and surprises you. So I mean, that could certainly be the case, but I would put those teams more in the category of like a Tom Brady with the Bucs, which we expect them to be good anyway, but maybe like a Carolina team with at least a quarterback that's been in the NFL, as opposed to, say, a Cincinnati where Joe Burrow's never stepped foot in the NFL. Personally, I want Joe Burrow to be incredible, but, I think it leans more toward an advantage of like a Philip Rivers-led Indianapolis team or a Teddy Bridgewater-led quarterback-wise team as opposed to a rookie quarterback or a younger quarterback who hasn't played as much football.
Larry, does it, you know, and Andrew's talked about this on the podcast, is do you think teams are going to be more likely, because they'll have less preseason games, maybe probably none, because the NFLPA says they don't want games. I think the owners will probably cave to them there. With no games and only practice, do you think coaches are going to lean more on their assumptions of what they have? Because you're not going to have actual preseason games where you can say, oh, Shy Tuttle really kicked ass in two preseason games, and we know he's clearly better than what we thought. And guys are going to have less chance to make the roster, and coaches are just going to have to go on, well, we think – This is what it's going to be, and they're just not going to have enough sort of data or film to make the right evaluations.
There's no doubt they're going to have to lean on what they know more than ever. Like, JT Gray makes the team because of special teams. I mean, he's not making the team because of special teams in practice. I mean, he's making plays in preseason games and people like that. Like, this is a brutal indoctrination to the league for late round picks, undrafted rookies, veterans who are signing 1-year deals, trying to make teams. This is the worst climate. It's going to be worse than in 2011 when you had a lockout and very few undrafted rookies. I can remember only one made the team, Issa Abdul-Kadus. Why I remember that? I have no idea. It was so rare. Because 2011 and that Saints team, though, they were a very good team. Even leaving 2010, they were still very good. Got some veteran pieces in that they knew would come play well and were one of the best teams in the NFL, arguably the best team in the NFL that season with a lack of an offseason, a normal offseason. I mean, that year, the draft and free agency was flipped, if you remember. And so,
that's right.
You know, so, yeah, and so it's definitely – you lean on more what you know, and you know. But now here's the thing: they might expand rosters, so you could probably gamble a little bit, I think, on some guys that you might not feel good about. But like, if you have an extended roster, you might see some of these more unknown guys make it, and that could change as we go. It was already going to be expanded to each week. You would have 55 because you could bring two guys up off the practice squad, but maybe they make alterations. 53-man roster might jump to 60. Practice squad might grow because of the caution for COVID-19.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, you think about, you know, and then the flip side of that is that, you know, I've heard they're considering instead of bringing 90 guys to training camp, they may only bring 85 or 80 or 75. And if that's the case, I mean, think back to a year ago, would Shy Tuttle and Deontay Harris, would they have made, if you were right at the beginning of just coming into camp, would those guys have been on that list of 10 people cut? Because Deontay Harris is 5'6", and Shy Tuttle is, you know, a guy that didn't do much at Tennessee. Or are those maybe the first two guys off your team when you don't get a chance to evaluate them? So, you know, I could see that working both ways, which is, it's like you said, Larry, it's such a fluid situation. But I want to ask you about your article that you're working on. So, you know, the competitive landscape of radio in New Orleans is kind of an enigma to me, and it's like nothing else. And I know you told us right before we went on the air that it's been a beast to kind of work through, and you've gotten tons of great quotes from great personalities. But give us a little insight into how that article's going and kind of what the thinking is behind it.
Yeah, I told you guys, I'm in the midst of this article. I'm trying to write it, and this is definitely the most. It's funny, the most kind of attention. And usually, when you're a writer, you don't put out, "Hey, I'm writing about this," because someone might come and steal it from you. But having me lived through a couple of radio stints and seeing how this thing works, I had no problem saying, "I know I have more information and you know contacts and this, that, and the other." So, and I just wanted public reaction. Because it's really prevalent. Like, people want to read this article, and that's why I'm going as deep as I can, because I want to make sure I tell the right story. But here's the thing: it's hard to know what the right story is, because the radio market here in New Orleans is
WWL and everyone else.
It's well, that's a lot of the conclusion right now is, especially in New Orleans, that it is hard to compete viably with WWL. And Ralph, you know this, and yet, you know, people try it and it's not all sports. And here's the thing. It's like, wow, how can, you know, that station only do all sports, or how much do they value sports, this, that, and the other? Well, they spend a ton of money on the Saints and a ton of money on LSU to buy their rights. And they put in the most critical advertising spot, WWL puts sports talk from 4 to 8 drive time. So that shows you how important and how much people want to listen to sports. But that's one show. Like, they're an established brand. How does a brand come in and compete with them? And this is on the kind of the premise that Sports 1280, a station where I helped do a relaunch back in 2017, that format has died and flipped. And this happened last Monday. And so that's kind of the crux of where I was like, look, I think it's time somebody wrote about this and dig in. And, you know, and you look at a station like ESPN New Orleans, and they are the Pelicans' flagship station. So their strategy is they've got shows in Baton Rouge. They've got Jordy Collada and T-Bob in the morning and Matt Moscone in the afternoon. And they're trying to have a fighter's chance just in the market. Look, they understand that WWL is Saints. And it's not like they're not going to talk about Saints, but Pelicans, people at Baton Rouge, they have really good shows from LSU. So they are trying to attack it in a different style than what we really haven't seen before. And also, it's a lot of corporate versus local. I mean, ESPN Baton Rouge is a monster. Their model, they're ahead of the game. They're doing digital. They're on TV. They're doing all this stuff. And so they are really doing right. They're in the midst of me reading the article, they expanded. Like, their lineup has expanded to shows, added new shows since I've even started.
Well, the thing is,
revisited even like that. Go ahead.
No, I mean, my thing with New Orleans is I feel like, and it's a benefit to us in this podcast, is I feel like until the Moscone and T-Bob and those shows came into New Orleans, they weren't really even attempting to get people that were under 35, you know? And now they're making an attempt. And but WWL, like, they're so people don't understand. WWL is so dominant, they don't have to do anything. Like, they've always been the question with them is how much bigger are their ratings going to be? When I was there and they had Buddy D, they were just massively in front of everyone. I mean, for God's sakes, they did 22 minutes of commercials an hour for Buddy D's show. Why? Because people paid for them. So I don't know how far they are ahead still now with their lineup, but they're just like, it's hard to explain to people just the overwhelming just behemoth that is WWL and how hard it is just to get into New Orleans and just like forget about like thriving, just like making a foothold on the beach, you know, to a certain extent.
Yeah, and a lot of people I talk to, you know, I've even asked them, do you think Entercom, who owns WWL, it's like, do they even want an all-sports station? And they're like, well, no, they'd be robbing Peter to pay Paul, and there's no point, and no one's going to invest the time and the money in New Orleans to make a push, whether if it's corporate radio like iHeartMedia or Cumulus, or if it's a local ownership group like Guarantee Media has 4 stations in Baton Rouge. One of them is Eagle 98.1. They air the LSU football games. One of them is ESPN Baton Rouge. And, you know, you need someone like that who has heavy pockets and wants to either buy LSU or buy the Saints the rights to air those games. And then it gives you a chance. Like, and so, but and look, WWL knows that, so they're willing to pay because that's their cash cow. I mean, that drives the whole station. You know, it's not like the morning show. Like, you know, it's that's what drives the station, and people are attracted to that. And so they have, if it works, why should they change? Like, I don't blame them for being the same. Hey, let's talk to Johnny and Chalmette 50 times a week. I mean, if people listen and people buy ads, they have no motivation to change.
No.
But like, and so your point is, like, at least ESPN, New Orleans, and Baton Rouge, they have younger hosts. You know, they have some older veterans for sure, but they have younger hosts and drive time. So they're trying to cater to that. It works big time in Baton Rouge. It works a little in New Orleans. It helps keep that station going. But, you know, if people, if it's the same thing, same thing, same thing, you know, it's there's no reason for them to change. I'm not faulting them there for that. I mean, but you're right. You guys who do a really innovative podcast and, you know, are sharp and funny and this, that, and the other, and you can kind of say what you want. Look, that does, there is a market for that. Like, I'm sure you guys have noticed that. Like, people draw to that, and you're drawing to the bigger crowd. But, you know, still, companies know that people listen to WWL, and they will spend their money there and on advertising. And obviously, people listen and go buy a hamburger at wherever the hell they're advertising and things like that.
Do you think that it's kind of settled that that's the way it is and always will be? Or do you think there's a competitive landscape in the future where that you could see something changing?
I thought I could have seen a change when I started the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill in 2010.
It's a great show.
On 690. Look, that was one of the funnest times of my life.
Like, that was fun.
I really enjoyed that show. I listened back. Some of the things we said, I don't know if you necessarily can get away with as much as you used to. I mean, it was some of the stuff we did was crazy. Like Joe Cardosi, like imitating Jeremy Shockey, and he's an idiot, and like just all the some of the things we would do were like made me like pee my pants laughing when you go back and listen to them. But yeah, look, you know, I think as I've done this and as I've done two stints of radio, because I was on, like I said, the original lineup for 1280 with myself and Jeff Duncan. And, you know, we weren't even driving our own ship then. That was a Times Picayune driven thing. And honestly, I didn't even want to go to 1280. I wanted to go to 100.3 and I got vetoed. And so that's where we ended up. And so it was, you know, it will take someone who is willing to spend a lot of money, I'm talking like millions, and not see an immediate return on your profits, but you want this to work. Like, you have to spend money on show hosts, not make them buy airtime and shop their own ads. Like, you limit your audience, you limit the talent pool immediately. Like, look, I'm, this may be a, I might sound arrogant, whatever. I'm not buying airtime to go on the radio. I will do a radio show if someone pays me.
Oh my God. Men, start taking notes, because Manscaped accidents are finally a thing of the past. The Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 has been beautifully designed to reduce those painful nicks and tugs. This is their third generation trimmer featuring advanced skin safe technology, so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth. The Manscaped engineering team obsesses over technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And they spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. The water-resistant technology allows you to shave in the shower, too. Oh, one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. You need to try this out yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Once again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code armchair. Your balls will thank you.
I mean, that's no, like, what, like, supposed to be.
Not in, yeah, not like in 2020. Why would I buy airtime? I can
right.
Set up a podcast, especially if you have a built-in following. But
right.
Larry, I know it feels like 1,000 years ago. But before we get into Drew Brees and his offseason, The Saints offseason, it feels like it's 1,000 years ago, but it was pretty amazing, right? We wanted them to get a receiver. We've been screaming for it. They got Emmanuel Sanders. They brought back Malcolm Jenkins. You know, they had a good draft. They did Mickey Loomis type stuff where they traded. As Andrew said, they pulled a mini Ditka, traded all the picks to get Troutman. They drafted a center. Is this Saints roster the best roster in team history?
Well, I will say, I'll preface this by, I made that claim once, and it was before the 2014 season. Me and Archie Manning can live in infamy sitting in like in the corner with the dunce cap on. So before I go into that, I would say 2018, I felt the best about. Like, I think this team is going to be a really good team, but I think that 2018 team, I felt really good about. 2019, I felt like they made some pieces, but I do feel like when you look at the overall scope, they've lacked some receiver help for a couple of years, and they went and got, to me, the perfect complement within this in the free agency, where they didn't have to spend a veteran who can come in, especially now, boy, you look back at it. Emmanuel Sanders can just come in and play. Like, he can play with a veteran, great quarterback, did it with Ben Roethlisberger, did it with Peyton Manning. Like, that is the perfect setup, especially with a lack of an offseason for the Saints to have. And, you know, on a good day, he could be, I'm not going to say right anymore, but on a good day in his prime, he was a number one guy. You add him, and that immediately says, okay, if we pay too much attention to Mike Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders could beat us. Like, you couldn't have said that about anybody else in the last 2 years as far as that wide receiver for the Saints. And then, I do think that Malcolm Jenkins was an upgrade over Von Bell. I'll say that first. And also, you're in win now. You go get a guy that you know. And look, at some point, T.J. Gardner-Johnson can take over that role, but, you know, it doesn't have to be right now. You at least calm down on that. And, you know, the offensive line, I would still question the payday that Andres Pete got. Like, I don't blame them for hanging on to him, but paying him that much, I almost feel like Sean Payton did his agent Don Yee a favor in getting Andres Pete all that money, because Don Yee, you know, is Andres Pete's agent. So I almost feel like it was definitely a scratch my back. But still, look, when I started hearing all the stuff about Larry Warford, boy, they weren't kidding. They went on and went out and got Cesar Ruiz. And look, I feel like if I'm going to make a switch, I would put him at center. I don't care. I'd put him at center and put McCoy at guard. I feel like Ruiz, even admittedly, is a better center and feels more comfortable there, and you can move McCoy. But, I could see where people are thinking, well, they didn't do as much at corner. Janoris Jenkins was like their free agent pickup. It just happened late last season. Like, I think people forget about that. Like,
he was really good in that playoff game.
He was really good last year. I mean, he had he had five picks last year overall. And – he was the best corner that the Giants had, and they were still throwing at him, and he picked off all these passes. Yeah, Jenkins is like a free agent pickup that people don't consider, but he should be. So I think, 1-2, you're in good shape. You got some options. You got to figure out at nickel. And then people are talking about pass rusher, the Jadeveon Clowney craze. Like, they don't need him.
No, but I want him, Larry, because he's a name, and I'm addicted to free agent transactions and breaking news drives this podcast. It's the entire engine of this podcast, besides the cups and shot glasses in my third bedroom in my house. So I need the Jadeveon Clowney signing.
Well, why don't they just go sign Antonio Brown and let's just really get crazy?
Oh, no. Oh, my. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You went too far, Larry.
Yes. I am for it.
Pay that man,
Larry,
his money.
We're going to get back to Saints in just a second, but I feel like our listeners asked me to ask you this. I cannot let you get away without addressing this. So, speaking of podcasts, you and Jeff Duncan, you do a great job. And if Saints fans out there are listening to this show and they want you probably already know about it, but just in case, definitely check out Larry and Jeff Duncan's show. It's a terrific podcast. Those guys do a great job. But Jeff Duncan has kind of oscillated between media, New Orleans villain, and he's kind of backed away from that a little bit, and he's kind of tried to make amends a little bit. But I'm just curious, what is it like working with Jeff, and do you feel the burning hatred that sometimes, I mean, I'm guessing because you're aligned with him, you sometimes accidentally get some of that vitriol. So I'm just curious what it's like working with him, and if you feel that animosity that sometimes exists on Saints Twitter.
I don't think it's accidental vitriol that I get from people. I've been accused, oh, he's just another Jeff Duncan. Like, people like want to like in a negative light. Like, they see that, you know, because we're opinionated and we might not agree with everyone all the time. And so, like, yeah, I was covering the bounty scandal for the Times-Picayune, like, on the news side. Like, I was the primary Saints beat reporter, so I was doing all the nuts and bolts and everything when that happened. So
Jeff went full scorched earth there.
I can see where people say that. I get it. It's funny. I don't know if I would have had the same strong opinion as Jeff did on that, just because, like, I knew I was neck deep in the evidence every day, and or lack thereof, or whatever. And so,
I have a question.
Opinion probably wasn't the same. Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question about Bountygate, and you're the perfect person to ask. And this is a question that I've wondered aloud, but no one has ever explained it to me, and maybe you can. Why did the Saints not push back through, quote-unquote, anonymous leaks of Cirillo and other people? They just let the NFL run roughshod over them, and they sort of battened down the hatches and didn't say anything. Why didn't they at least try to push back in the media? And, you know, sources from the Saints say, look into Cirillo, look into this, and at least try to get their story out. I felt like they just let
them delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The NFL run roughshod over them.
That is interesting. I'm not going to discuss sources unless it's Andrew accusing me of using Johnny Patrick as a source when I wrote a story about how Steve Spagnuolo should be fired. This is the only time I'm going to reveal a source, because he's come out publicly, and it was Scott Shanley who reached out to me and fried Spagnuolo, and he was right. So it's not Johnny Patrick, Andrew. I need you to frame that article of yours and show it for all the world to see. Besides that, like, it was like, I always wondered, someone like Peyton didn't come out stronger. And like he's told me, like he doesn't have a player, like a coach's union, this, that, and the other. And, it's an interesting question that I've tried to talk to many people after the fact, this, that, and the other. And everybody's like, this would be a great time, say I'm at an owner's meeting and I'm with Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis. And it's like, when are we going to ever tell me like y'all's complete side of this? Oh, I'm going to write a book or we'll do it over drinks. And I'm like, well, time's ticking. Let's talk. And, it never happens. But, it's definitely something like that. I don't have my finger on. I don't know why they just felt like it wouldn't help their cause, that the NFL had made up their mind, and anything that say was leaked out, maybe it might hurt them even more. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. They were kind of at the mercy there. Like the players were able to fight and able to get it done. And so maybe they just felt like the league was just going to, maybe the league told them like, I wouldn't push back if I were you or this, that, and the other. It was maybe a different scenario.
Well, your average Saints fan still feels like the NFL has an axe to grind with the Saints. Do you feel like the conspiracy theorists out there are just that, a little loony, or do you think there's some, even today with what we've witnessed from between the relationship between the Saints and the league, do you think there's a little truth to it?
I think it's a little loony. I'll use your word. I do think it's a little loony. Like people wanted to say the NOLA no call is because of the league, blah, blah, blah. Oh my God. Come on. No, it was your blown call. It was an awful call. It wasn't because of this. Oh my gosh. The replay system, da, 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 da. They're out to get the Saints. I mean, this, that, and the other. Trust me. I wish the officials would got it right. Then I wouldn't have to call Al River on four games in a row, because that's like my duty as in the media corps for this market. And so, no, I think it's a little over the top, but it does stem from that. And that's still hard to swallow. I mean, they were in the midst of a great run. That 2012 team probably would have been a playoff team had everything been okay. You could have probably even done a little better in free agency, even though they signed a bunch of people. Like, it stopped a run. And I could just say by covering it, Andrew, here's where, like, my opinion is different from Jeff's. Look, I think the Saints screwed up. I think they want to say that didn't happen. Look, that it happened. That stuff happened. And yet, I do think that the NFL did lean on shaky info from people, from, untrustworthy people. And I think Paul Tagliabue's conclusion at the bounty scandal, once the hearings, he ended it. He's like, I don't trust what the NFL is saying. I don't trust the Saints are saying. I basically think everyone is not telling the truth. And so I'm just going to vacate these suspensions of the players. And that then and of itself basically said, it was Paul Tagliabue telling Roger Goodell, look, I don't totally trust what you're presenting. And so, but I could see where there could be some lingering thoughts in that. But I don't think the NFL has it out for the Saints. Like, here's the thing. I'll just go back to the NOLA no call. The best rated Super Bowl of that group would have been Saints Patriots. Like,
yes,
it would have been.
Yes.
So that's my argument there. If that, why would the Saints want, why would they want to potentially have one of the worst Super Bowls ever, have a scandal, this, that, and the other, because they want to put it to the Saints? No.
But they want the LA market to explode, Larry. No, I'm just kidding.
Pierce.
It's exploded into like
Wendell
it's
Pierce
one
told
of those
us that.
Dud firecrackers that you got in like the little $10 pack you bought from the gas station. I mean, because yeah, it's a, they definitely overslept.
We'll get back to the show in just a second. There is no shortage of action going on with our partners over at betonline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back, with the NBA announcing its return in late July. But right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer all have resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds and lines for their upcoming games and matches. You need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day for our devout gamblers to check out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit BetOnline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts.
Larry, how would you characterize your relationship with Al Riveron? Does he hate you?
We're friendly. No, he doesn't hate me. Look, he just knows he's got to talk to me the most. But unfortunately for the league, like, the most questionable calls come from there. And just kind of just to open, kind of shed a light on how that process works.
Larry,
like, I don't pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm calling Al. Like, I got to go through the league, this, that, and the other. But at least that avenue's there. And talking to, like, NFL PR, they say, look, you are the one who had the most in 2019, but you deservedly called the most in 2019. So just kind of show you.
When you call him, when he answers the phone, does he say this right off?
You think you know, but you don't know, and you never will.
Like, is he cordial with you, or
he's
when you call,
cordial,
or is he like, ugh, hold
her
again?
That voice eerily sounds a little like Al Riveron. I don't. He's got maybe some more of twang in him. I don't know.
Can you get him to say playoffs?
Playoff? No, I can't. I don't have the playoff one.
If I would have got him on the phone after the Nola note call, maybe he would have. But we didn't talk to him after that. It was the actual official, because it wasn't like a booth review or anything like that. So I'll just go through the process just to kind of let people know. Like, when there's a questionable call, I go to Saints PR. It's like, hey, I want to call the league office and get Al on the phone or get an official, however we're going to do this. And so they run it through the league. Then the league calls me through a PR person, and then it puts us, like, in touch. And then I just ask the questions. Like, they know what I'm questioning. Like, one time, I forget which game it was, where there was a couple of questionable calls, and I tried to ask about a second one, and he would not answer it because he wasn't prepared to answer it. And I remember putting it out there, and people were not happy, but I was like, look, I tried to. This didn't happen. And so, yeah, so that's the process of doing that and making that done. And I do it for the New Orleans market. Each market has their own person that is kind of the pool reporter to ask the right questions.
So we did, Larry, this will be the final thing. Thanks for giving us way more time than we asked for. We did the greatest Jim Mora rant bracket, and it's maybe our most popular bracket that we've ever done by far. We've done, all of them have been ridiculous, but this one was the most ridiculous because we actually had sound to play, and it allowed people that are our age to kind of remember Jim Mora, but younger people to get acquainted with him. Sean Payton, he's not the same as Jim Mora because Jim Mora's rants were like post-game, practice, that sort of thing. But Sean Payton is, in his own way, I feel like, just as entertaining as Mora. You know, worry about your meat. And he does different things. How would you compare the two as far as entertainment value?
Well, does it mean behind a mic or when he calls you on the phone and curses you out? Because that's probably more a dinner to your face in an open setting. Sean and I have had our differences behind closed doors plenty enough times. And here's the thing. It's like, you know, when Peyton, what type of mood Peyton is when he gets up on the podium, or you get him on a conference call, and they're definitely the reporters who he purposely gets snarky with. Like, he's done it with me before, but then he's also, like, turned his head in a press conference and turned and stared right at me. He's like, almost like, Larry, ask a question to save me because I don't feel like talking to this person anymore. Like, so it's definitely a different art, I would say. And I don't think either one of them expect to be called artists in this sense, but it is definitely a bit of an art form there. And but look, it's like Peyton gets a lot of that from Bill Parcells. I mean, yeah, so that's where he learned. And so that's, you know, Parcells had his different routes with the media. And so You know, Peyton is the same way. But yeah, look, I think, look, I would say entertainment-wise, Mora's got to be more entertaining. But Mora's also not, like, you know, going behind the scenes and, like, trying to cause chaos for, say, people in the media, which Sean Payton certainly does and I think probably will continue to do. And, you know, so, you know, but it's funny, like, I've had this back and forth with Payton for more than a decade where we've butted heads, but I could pick up the phone and call Sean Payton and he'll take my call and like he respects me and we've MF'd each other. Like he called me and I you know, he'd curse and I'd curse back and I'd be like, look, I'm going to bully the bully. I'm not messing with you, man. No way. And so
what was it about? Tell us. I want to know.
He'll call and be pissed and he'll call and be pissed and I'll just ignore his call for months. And that would probably drive.
What was he, what's he, what has he been the most mad at you for that you wrote?
Oh geez. And well, this goes back to, well, if you remember, let's see, there was, remember John Barr was snooping around the Saints 2012 and
The wire.
Are you talking about the wiretapping?
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay. He also did a half hour show about how Sean Payton could be an ass to the media. Like that was his whole segment. And so like a whole 30-minute show on a Sunday morning. And so I get up and turn it on and I'm like, oh gosh, let me see. And then John Barr starts telling the story. He's like, well, you know, there's this example, Larry Holder. Well, Sean Payton has this nickname for Larry Holder. He calls him NFL. Negative, you can figure out the effing Larry. And, you know, it's a story that he twisted from different people. It's like, that's not my nickname. And I went and defended Peyton. I was like, look, we don't have this contentious relationship anymore. But it comes from a story where in 2007, you know, he was pissed off like at two or three things I did in a week. And he called and cursed me out. And he's like, you know, you're not a friend. You're a foe. you're nothing but a negative F, blah, blah, blah. And after the sixth time, I just started. And then he hung up. My nickname sort of like through the media would be NFL. It's NFL. Da, da, da. So much so where when I got married, my groom's cake, the NFL shield, and people were like, oh, that's okay. Covers the league. And it's no, it's for negative F and Larry. So much so where I even told Roger Goodell the story at an owner's meeting and he like died laughing. And Peyton would call me that and involved the shield and all the stuff. So, you know, but it's just, different tidbits of reporting, this, that, and the other.
he's never called up a live show and said that.
It makes me almost want to vomit.
I mean, he did that to Buford Jordan. That Mora did. So it's different. I mean, but Larry, we can't thank you enough, guy. Guys, you know how to find him. He's at The Athletic. I subscribe. They have great Saints coverage. Eventually, the Saints are going to have games, and you're going to want Cat Terrell and Jeff Duncan and Larry Holder. You're going to want their great coverage of the Saints. So, Larry, we can't thank you enough for coming on and giving us much more time than we asked for. So, guys, thanks a bunch, and we will see you again tomorrow.